Morning, everyone. There's only one place to start, and that's in prayer. So let's just come before the Lord. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness to each one of us. And Lord, we ask that you bless us this morning from your word. Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen me and enable me to deliver it with your power and with your might, Lord, because we only want to hear from you this morning. Take me away from the message. It's all about you, Jesus. And we just commend this whole morning's worship to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you inhabit me now and be my mouthpiece. Let me be your mouthpiece, rather than me be your mouthpiece, because you have the power to change lives where I don't. So we give it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to start with a reading from Ecclesiastes 1 to 13. I'm sure you're all well aware of it. It gets a bit repetitive in time, and sometimes we take it for granted. I've read over it a few times and you think, well, what's it really saying? But just listen and try and meditate upon it. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet, no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. You notice there is a time. It's repeated all the time. There is a time, there is a time, there is a time, there is a time. But whose time is it? It's the Lord's time. He is the control of time. And that brings me to my title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is in charge of every aspect of our lives. Everything that goes on, whether it's problems, we get problems at times. But when you look back on it, I can see where in my life where I've had problems and I've overcome them with his help because I've given the problems over to the Lord. And I love that old hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in God in prayer. And that's where we need to go to him in prayer. Now I'm sure you're all aware that the harvest here in Lincolnshire is nearly complete. Yeah? There's a few things still out in the fields that haven't been gathered up yet. But most of it's in. We all know how much the farmers depend on the weather, though, don't we? And we know that this year hasn't really been kind to them. There's been a shortage of rainfall, and in many parts of the country, they've had very little rainfall at all. We've had very little in Lincolnshire and compared to the rest of the world, because we've never experienced a water shortage. We haven't been told that we can't use our hose pipes, but other places have. And we've experienced a very warm summer, haven't we? Little old Coningsby even experienced a record 40.3 degrees centigrade. We missed it, didn't we, dear? But that was too hot for many to cope with. And it, as I said, it's been a tough year for our farmers. Their crops have suffered due to the lack of rain and the warm conditions. It's resulted in a reduction in the yield from their harvest of grain, potatoes, vegetables, and fruit crops, and any other crop you care to name. You know, even in our little garden, we've been, well, trying to grow some pears, what have you. They didn't get swelled very much because there's like a moisture. And trying to be good stewards of water, well, that's my excuse anyway. I don't water them too often. You know, I'll leave that to Linda, because she's good at that. She keeps the water butt working, turning over, don't you, dear? As I said, it's been a tough year for them. And the outcome, though, it doesn't only affect the farmers. Yes, it reduces their income because of the lack of yield from their crops. But have you noticed, when you look at the prices in the shops, how it also affects us? Everything is interlinked and everything comes together. The outcome, as I said, it not only affected the farmers' income due to the reduction in their crops, but it also affects us in many ways. What does Scripture promise us? Well, in Genesis 8, in verse 22, we read, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." You know, we can rely on Scripture because Scripture is always true. But you need to take into consideration the conditions. Yes, we are promised that there will always be a seed time and a harvest, a cold and heat, summer, winter, night and day, and that will never cease. But it depends on a lot of elements, onto how good or otherwise those times are. And sometimes it's the Lord's doing to correct, or try to correct us mere mortals. And other times it's our own stupidity which causes the problems. You know, because man thinks, "I've got a good idea." But if it's not the Lord's idea, it won't work. Not in a positive way. It will work in a negative way. But we need to depend on the Lord. We need to remember that He is the Lord of the harvest, as well as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6 says, "May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us." Yet how often do we forget just how much He blesses us? Just how often do we forget how much we've got to thank Him for? We're good at quibbling and worrying about when things go wrong. Oh, poor me, poor me. But how often do we actually praise the Lord for what He is doing for each one of us? And that's the most important thing, that we need to remember that everything that we do, He cares about. He loves us. And He wants to know about us. Well, He knows about us anyway, but He wants to have the communion with us. He wants you to tell Him. See, your mum likes to hear you. Used to like to hear it. My mum used to like to hear it. She knew she was doing a good job, but she always liked to say, "I love you, Mum." You know, and it doesn't cost a lot. Sometimes it does cost you a lot, especially whenever you're in the bad books, you know. But it's rewarding when you go and you say it, because you get the reward back. You get blessed. I like what John, we need to remember that it's important to thank the Lord. John 1:1-3 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." That's why my title says, "He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Nothing in this world happens without, nothing good in this world happens, shall I correct that, without his countenance. I don't know if any of you thought about it, but I have. I used to have nightmares about it, about being a farmer. But it never really appealed to me. Why? Well, you could say, I suppose, I didn't like the idea of the hard work, the back-breaking work. And the following scripture, I think, paints a clear picture of the hardships facing farmers. And it's from Genesis 3:17-19, which is from after the fall of man. And this is God to Adam. "To Adam he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return.'" Wow. Now, if that isn't the description of a hard job, I don't know what is. And that's one thing I would say would put me off being a farmer. A hard job. You know, we need to thank God that he has given farmers a hard job. He's picked them, hand-picked them. He's picked what farmers that he has endowed with talents, and along with the will and the desire to do a hard job, to go out into the fields when it's cold, miserable and wet, to till the land, to plant the seed, to watch it grow, hopefully, to give him a profit, and then to feed us. Because without them producing the food for our tables, which we all rely upon to sustain us, in fact, the health and vitality of the whole human race is relevant to the work of farmers producing a good harvest. And not only producing it, but bringing it in as well. And it all takes time and experience. And I don't have the experience to be a farmer or the will. But you know, I don't beat myself up about it, because that's not the role that the Lord has for me. He's got a role for everyone. But we need to recognize people and not decry them because of the position they're doing. If they're doing it to the best of their will to please the Lord, they're doing their role. And that's what we need to remember. With some exceptions, though, we are blessed in this country with favorable conditions for farming, aren't we? You know, we don't have the extremes really of cold, or the, apart from this year, the 40.3, the extremes of heat. That's a rarity rather than a norm. But there are parts in the world where people suffer from drought on a regular basis because of the heat, or snow because of the cold where they are, and they have a difficulty in producing enough food for the table. In those conditions, they rely on support from the rest of the world, don't they? Now, sometimes the problem with that is there are things like civil war. Wars are, sorry, not wars, what is it, Russian calls it? It's a mission in Ukraine, where you've got grain in a big warehouse that could be shipped. Tankers are waiting to take it away, but because of the embargo, they haven't been allowed to sail for a long time. So people who were relying on that food to sustain them have been deprived of that because of man. You know, and this is the thing that always gets me. It's man that always interrupts God's planning and God's will. Because it would seem there is also those who seem unwilling to help by sharing the resources for whatever reason. And but that's not God's way. John the Baptist tells us in Luke 3, verse 11, John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." This instruction from John makes it clear that food is needed to help our bodies to stay strong and to even survive. And also that it's God's will that we should share what we have. Following on from the reduced yield from the harvest, as I've already said, with the prices in the shops rising, there's also other things of man's doing, like the rise of inflation. Yeah, purely man's doing, because man creates the markets, grows them, and brings them down. The rate of inflation's gone up, and it's causing a lot of people to worry about mortgage increases for those who are buying their homes. Those who can't afford to buy their homes are renting homes, which are possibly mortgaged by their landlords, who are possibly going to increase their rents. You know, added to this, there are the other factors, of course. The fear, which is being broadcast on the news every time, about how heating costs are going to go up, whether it be gas, electric, or whatever. The cost of travelling, we've all seen the price on the petrol pumps. We know that that's gone up. Is it any wonder people are worried and concerned about how they're going to manage? Even after the government's promise to help. You know, governments promise a lot, but they don't always deliver. But one who does promise, and you can depend on, he always delivers, and that's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Yes, there are many who are worrying, and these are worrying times, especially if they don't know the Lord, because they don't know where to turn, a lot of folks. But thankfully, if you know the Lord, we know what to do, because Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 tells us, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. You know, that's something we often forget about, isn't it? We need to remember that we are not promised a tomorrow. Not in this life. Not if you don't know the Lord. If you know the Lord, you're promised a forever. Not a tomorrow. Your everlasting life. So tomorrow will never come, even in that, because it's everlasting. So the day won't end. It's important that we remember that. That we do not need to worry about tomorrow. If you know the Lord today, you've got no worries whatsoever. In Matthew 4, Jesus answered his disciples, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." I believe it's important to take note and to remember that there is a more important harvest for us as Christians to worry about. And I believe it's because of that more important harvest was the reason that Jesus gave the following instructions to his disciples, as we can read in Matthew 28, 18 to 20. The Great Commission, I'm sure you're well aware of it. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's our job as farmers, is to complete the Great Commission, to go and plant the seeds into the lives of those who as yet haven't come to know the Lord Jesus, and to try and lead them in that direction. We can't save them. It's only the Holy Spirit can do that. But we can point them in the right direction. And it's not just what we say to people that do that. We testify in so ways by the way we live. So we've got to be careful. You can't go to someone and say, "You should be doing this." Because we've all had it. We've had bosses who come and say, "You should be doing this way." And you think, "Well, how would you know that? You've never done this job. How can you tell me how I should be doing it?" And we've all done it. But we need to remember the one who's telling us to do the job is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And he has done the job. So he knows the job better than any of us. So we need to remember and follow his direction and his instructions. Colossians 1 verse 10 reads, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." That's the harvest we who knew the Lord should be working towards. You know, for any who are listening to this message who have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I would implore you to consider your future and where you want to spend it. There are only two options. One is with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and the other is with his arch enemy, Satan, in hell. In fire and damnation, eternal fire and damnation, or eternal life. And there's only one that can make that choice, and that's you. And if you hear the Lord calling to you, I would advise you to consider his invitation sincerely and just think about it. Not longer than you have to. Certainly don't put it off till tomorrow. Do it today, because as I've already said, you're not promised a tomorrow. And I'll finish with one verse from Isaiah 55, and it's verse 6. And this is advice for anyone who does not know the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's come in prayer. Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And you know the heart of us all. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your loving mercy to me in calling me and accepting me as your son. And Lord, at times I know that I let you down. But Lord, you keep picking me up. And I thank you for your patience and your willingness to forgive no matter what, because you are a God of forgiveness, a God who loves his children. And as my old friend, and I think I'd disappoint people if I didn't say, Jeremiah says, you have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope on the future. And Lord, if we make the right choice, that future can be with you in the heavenly realms. So I just thank you for all your mercies and all your blessings, Lord. And I just pray that you will keep us safe as the weeks and the days go by. And Lord, that you will just continue to bless us and to grow us and to draw us and to correct us, Lord, when we need to be. Discipline us through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.